All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1156 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, October 31st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Of course, today we're going to have a great lineup for you. I'm absolutely thrilled to be back in the saddle here. Lots to talk about, lots to catch you up on, but we're going to talk about the new Mac Pros, the exciting Microsoft Surface. We're going to be talking about an incredible Microsoft update that just went insanely crazy wrong. We're going to talk about the new Apple Campus and a whole bunch of other stuff as well tonight on the show. I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners. Thanks for bearing with me, being out last week. Didn't mean to be. We'll talk about that in a second. But if you're a brand new listener to the show, welcome to Geek News Central. We want you to take time to get over to geeknewscentral.com. I want you to get subscribed to the show. It's very simple to do. All you got to do is just follow the instructions on the side of the page. Basically, click on the iTunes link, click on the subscribe by Android. You can go by email via Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, or just use an old school RSS feed. And that way you can get subscribed to the show. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just go ahead and click on the more subscription options, and that'll give you some details. And of course, you can sign up for our newsletter as well. That's a little bit further down the page. That will get you access to today's content. I'll basically be posting the show notes and then immediately emailing you an exact copy of that. So you catch it on the website or catch it via email, whichever way you want to go. But if you got comments on today's show, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, join our Slack channel. Just send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com and tell me you want to be part of the Slack channel. Join the conversation. You can follow on Google Plus or Facebook. Either way is a great way as well. You can watch this show on the Roku or on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher or watch or view on Blueberry.com. Of course, we want to just give a shout out to our partner shows. We've got the new media show that Rob Greenlee and I do, Pro Gear News Site, which is written by our Geek News Central team. The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. And of course, my show that I've been doing called Podcast Legends. It's a new show that really have been continue to be excited about, but haven't been able to record as many. Of course, we want to make sure you get over geeknewscentral.com on a daily basis to visit the website. That way you'll stay engaged, stay informed. We've got a great writing team that bring you all original articles. Nothing is, comes from a press release on the website. So definitely do that. But of course, this show is the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast known in the universe. And of course, our sponsor is GoDaddy.com. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And we've got great deals continuing on with GoDaddy. And as we move into November, we don't want you to forget that it's time to start planning what you're going to do for Christmas. Because, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're like 6 or 7 weeks away. Can you believe it? It's just insane that it's already this time of year. But what you can do is for a family member, friend, people that you know, if you're thinking for a unique gift, give the gift of a domain name, give the gift of a hosting account. And we've really got great deals. It's a very inexpensive gift to be able to give, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. a $1 a month to manage WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain, $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year. We got a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. We've got a 99cent.com. You only can get one of those, okay? Just be aware of that on your account. Or you can save 30% off on new product purchases. So if you go crazy and pick up a server or something like that, you can literally save $200, $300, $400, $500 on an annual fee for those big monster servers that GoDaddy makes available to be able to power a super website. So, as a reminder, when you're over on geeknesscentral.com and you're using the GoDaddy promo codes, you are directly supporting the show and helping us keep the lights on. Actually, the way the studio works now, the sun keeps the lights on with the 36 panels, but you do allow us to be able to do the things that we do, pay the water bill, pay the sewer bill, pay for garbage, pay for food, pay for insurance, gas in my car, you name it, clothes on my back. So we definitely appreciate your ongoing support. And my phone is barking at me like crazy. I don't even know where I put it, to be honest with you. It's around here somewhere. The bark is my let me know that there is a text message coming in. But anyway, definitely check out all our products and services at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime supporter here. I will say this. It looks like October is going to end up on a great event. We are in the process of making some changes to the website. And largely because of we've become too good when it comes to the search results. So what I really need all of you to do to help continue to support the show, what's most important, is that if you're sharing the website with friends, family members, people that you know, make sure you send them over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Send them to the page. And make sure that to let them know to use the codes. They can either click or copy the code at checkout. Remind them how to do that. It's very, very important to help us maintain the levels of how the show's been doing performance-wise. So we want all of you to make sure that you're linking to the site whenever you're trying to support us via Twitter or Facebook. If you're so inclined to drop a link on your websites, if you're talking about us, that is the most important thing you can do to our stage. Help us drive traffic, again, to this main page at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And, of course, supporting the products and services by picking them up is most important as well. So, anyway, that's it. But big, big thanks to all of you and your ongoing support. It is most graciously appreciated. And I'm humbled as well by all of you that have that are coming in as insiders and supporting the show financially that way with either $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month contribution. To be honest with you, if we could get about 200 to 300 of you, and this would be a very small percentage of the show audience, again, to come in at that $10 or $15 or $25 level, it really helps the show in a big, big way. And allow us to accomplish some of the goals that need to be met. With that said, I had talked about hiring an assistant. That has been put on hold until at least the end of November to see where we're at and to be able to make a decision then whether I'm going to move forward with an assistant or not. But anyway, long story short, again, thank you for all your ongoing long-time support. And again, thanks GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, so let me go ahead and talk to you about what the heck is going on. Well, as you know, I flew out a week ago, Friday. Got into Detroit Saturday mid-morning. Got in the rental car and drove to my mom's house, mom and sister's house in Michigan, and just kind of kicked back. Had to hang out with the family, with the cousins, and not cousin, with my niece and nephews. Really, it was a pretty quick visit because I was there Sunday and then Monday, and then I drove down to Columbus Tuesday morning. but went with my mom on her business route Monday, hung out with her, and we caught up with everything under the sun, and I got to help out there. That was a lot of fun. Saturday, it was, we did the recorded the new media show on Sunday with Rob from my mom's bedroom. The internet held out. That worked out well. And so just had a great time, you know, making, you know, just talking about the future and maybe some potential plans down the road and trying to decide, to, you know, really this, with everything that's going on, it's I'm making some considerations on the future. And that was a lot of discussions about that. And then anyway, so Tuesday morning, I drove down to Columbus, left pretty early. I think I left about 5 a.m., maybe 5:30. And maybe it was a little, maybe it was as late as 6. I'm not sure. Got down to the Columbus office at about 9:30. And then really it started a full week, really have dug in pretty deep with my team there. And you know, I hadn't been to the office in a while, so we were able to, and we've actually added a second office within the same building. We've got a room now that we use as a meeting room, and we have the podcast studio set up in, so I wanted to check that out. Mike Dell, our lead support guy at Raw Voice Blueberry, he drove down from Traverse City and came down and hung out at the same time. He got in about noon on Tuesday. But then really what it was about was, you know, seeing where the team was in development-wise and working with the McKenzie to basically talk about our pro hosting and PowerPro sites and all the stuff that's going on there. So really a lot of time was spent working with the devs on our upcoming social tools that we're very, very excited about. And matter of fact, I'll be demonstrating in some tweets that you'll see at twitter.com/geeknews after this episode. You'll be able to get a sampling of some of the things that we've got coming socially on Twitter, and talking about Facebook, talking about Google+, talking about YouTube, talking about LinkedIn, really, you know, talking about that strategy and looking at see where the code was at there. Tuesday night, there was a small podcaster meetup at our Columbus office. We've got an auditorium, so some folks came in there. I also had an additional speaking engagement that I had that week that I had to knock out, which turned out to be well attended, and I was really appreciative of the audience that come in. But again, worked with the team, did some team building. We actually carved some pumpkins, so that was kind of fun. Worked on our studio. Our studio had some issues, and it turned out that the big impediment to what was going on is we were using a laptop that was feeding some background noise in. So I think Mike and I, Tuesday or maybe Wednesday morning, when he went over to Micro Center, picked up a very inexpensive desktop, got that all loaded with the software, and I'm very, very pleased where the audio quality is, and she's able to do Skype in and record on the same machine for our PowerPress podcast. So we got that all lined up. So Mackenzie's our host of that, and really kind of got the system dialed in so that hopefully the knobs won't be touched and everything will work. But probably, you know, about 15 minutes after we walked out of there, that probably, who knows, you know, these systems always need a little tweaking. Matter of fact, I got some tweaking here in the studio to do. But Mike and I spent some time, had some employee evals to do, just, you know, a lot, and it was busy. We spent a lot of hours working on stuff, so it was a good visit. And to be honest with you, by the time I got out of the office, just being able to do a show on Thursday, it just didn't work. The Monday show got destroyed because of what was going on at my mom's house and with stuff we were talking about there. So my apologies for no show last week, but it was well spent, and come back with the battery recharged here to be able to talk to you folks. But again, a lot of stuff accomplished. I need to be going there more often. and we're going to be working on making sure that happens. But Columbus is a great town. Very interesting. You know, I would put that on my list at this point as a potential place to live. Very, you know, it's obviously just like any other city. It's got good parts and not so good parts. But I was looking around at some of the housing and prices are just like, you know, compared to Hawaii, oh my God, they're, you know, the house you can get there for, you know, half the money that we spend here is incredible. So a lot of considerations to be made down the road. But anyway, that kind of wrapped up the Columbus visit. So Saturday, I'm flying home and something crazy happened. And those of you that were on Twitter, on Facebook, you saw what happened. But so I landed in, flew out of Columbus mid-morning, got into, you know, probably about 11 a.m., got into Chicago. Maybe it was noon. Went to the United Lounge. It was like packed. I'd never seen the United Lounge this full of people. I mean, it was just, every seat was taken. So, you know, and I normally don't take a bench seat. So I rolled through and found like one seat on the whole place available. I sit down, broke out my tablet, had my phone there, really wasn't paying attention. And I looked up and I kid you not, I'm like, that's Steve Wozniak. Now I've met Woz before and it's been a couple of years, but Woz is pretty well known face for us geeks, right? And I'm like, so I tweeted, I basically said something like, I beep you not, I'm sitting, you know, Woz is sitting across from me, and I didn't want to be rude. He had his MacBook out and he's charging his phone, and I could see he was, you know, typing away, writing email, and he kind of looked up. I said, Woz? He says, can't believe it took this long for someone to recognize me. So we talked for 20, 25 minutes, talked about the new MacBook Pros, which he has ordered two, totally decked out. But he's kind of kind of misgiving about the, you know, what they've done with the product line. Talked about the Raspberry Pi, talked about him teaching, just the whole, it's like I had Woz to myself for like 25 minutes. Now, there was a couple of people that came up and asked to take selfies, and I took pictures with him. And he was actually, one girl came up and interrupted us, and he's like, don't you see I'm having a conversation? And I said, oh, don't worry. I said, give me your camera. And she took a picture, and the gal walked by. He says, man, sometimes people just can't wait. So, I, you know, I kind of like, well, Woz, I don't want to interrupt. So, no, we're having a great conversation. I was wearing my TPN.TV shirt, and so it was cool. And I wish I could have recorded it. It was a great conversation. Of course, I asked him to take a picture at the end, and matter of fact, I don't have the card here. It's in the bedroom. I've got one of Woz's business cards, which is really cool. So anyway, yeah, that was kind of the highlight of the trip home. But what's funny is I looked at my United counter. I'm at 998,000 miles for lifetime flight miles with United. So my next trip will put me over a million. So I guess that's, if anything else, that's an accomplishment. But the rest of you guys don't care. Anyway, we got to get into the tech, and I got a great lineup for you today. For those of you on Facebook, hello, everyone. Brad, thanks for joining on. And again, I apologize about no shows last week. And it's just sometimes, after we've been at this, you guys know that this is, I've been at this since 2004, right? So we're all friends, and I appreciate it when you don't beat me up too bad when I take a little time off. And I've done it more from time to time throughout the years. You know, I used to be, never missed a single episode. But in order to keep the batteries going and keep me going and keep the show going, little, minor, small breaks like this two or three times a year is good. Good for Todd, good for you. And so anyway, thank you for allowing me to interrupt your news schedule. And again, always take time, go over to techpodcast.com and check out the shows over there. There's a lot of great tech shows. We don't want to lose you. But at the same time, I definitely appreciate your indulgence. And I know you don't have a choice in the matter, but I'm just assuming that everyone is cool with it. And if you're not, master blast me, geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Okay. So, and I have to give Brad kudos. I think that Brad is up to episode 400 and something. He's going through all the episodes. Maybe you can tell me what you're doing here. But, you want to know my daughter's wedding? That is next year, February. So, I'm slowly getting the cash ready that I have to send her. But, not to February of 2018. So we're a little bit away. And Travis, hey, thanks for coming on the show. I used to work for Travis many years ago. And he was a lieutenant commander in the Navy. I don't remember if he made commander or if he retired as lieutenant commander. But, hey, Travis, thanks for checking out the show. Thank you very much. All right. Anyway, let's go ahead here and pop over into my stack. And I got a good stack of stuff tonight. First of all, let me look at the Mac and let me tell you what year Mac I have. So I've got a Mac I have on my desktop is a early 2011 17-inch MacBook Pro. So I've gotten 5 years out of this MacBook so far, and it's still working. And I don't use it as heavy as a lot of people do. And I've probably been through a couple of Windows PCs in the same amount of time. But, you know, oftentimes I'll get a review unit and let me keep it. So, you know, that Dell XPS 13 is the Windows PC I use the most at this time when I travel. The Mac always goes with me as well, and it's used for video editing or whatever I may be doing. But, I've been thinking about maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to, you know, retire this 17-inch, let my one of my kids have it, and upgrade to the new Mac Pro, so MacBook Pro. So I'm excited. You know, Tuesday, I've got the live stream going for the Apple event, and they announced the new MacBook Pro, and they called it a touch of genius. Touch of whole lot of nothing. There are a lot of people, including me, that are very, very disappointed in the minor upgrade of the MacBook Pro. You guys know that I've got a Mac Pro. I bought that a couple of years earlier than I had planned to because of a failure of my tower. And, you know, it's a great machine. I've had it's a monster when it comes to editing video. And this hour 15 minute show takes, once I get it chopped on both ends and the audio right, you know, it takes like 12, 13 minutes to encode the video. It's just, it's just a monster, right? And when I go on the road, I don't want to travel with that. I want to leave that home and not get it banged around. So, but I need this ability, especially going to events like CES, to be able to really maximize computer processing power, to be able to turn content, churn it, and burn it. Well, my plan was that, okay, I've been on this MacBook Pro, the 17-inch, bit of which I've had a hard time downgrading to, you know, I've been holding on to it because I didn't want to go to the 15-inch. And lo and behold, these knuckleheads at Apple basically made a MacBook Pro that really is not Pro. It's labeled Pro, but they have made a machine, created a machine with this little touch bar nonsense, taken away the function keys, put the escape key up on a bar that can change based on the program you have loaded. And I'm not a designer. I'm a media creator, right? We create audio and video media. And when it comes time to video, it's time to crunch, turn and burn, and get the job done. Well, this new MacBook Pro will not even support like an Oculus Rift VR headset. It will not support heavy-duty gaming. I'm not a gamer, but many folks are. And it's just a minor upstep in processing power, throughput, and everything else. Plus, they took a whole bunch of ports away. You know, Apple loves taking ports away. You know, do they really realize how people work today? And put a tiny little itty-bitty hard drive in it for the price? So, you know, I priced one out, figured what I would want in it. It's like $3,000. And I'm thinking to myself, I can buy 3 super nice laptops, or I could buy 2 really awesome laptops that will do the same heavy lifting as a MacBook Pro. I'm not upgrading. I'm not buying another MacBook Pro. Not until they get their act together. They didn't even go to a seventh generation chip. They're using a sixth generation chip because they wanted to get 10 hours of battery power on it. Well, let me tell you something. When we're processing videos, we're not like on battery power. You know, we're making the machine fans run full speed. The machine's getting hot. It's plugged into power. And even if I was going to process something without the battery, I wouldn't expect to get 10 hours. They put a minimal amount of RAM in the machine. So what they've built is the MacBook Pro is now for the Mac lover, Mac devotee, the person that's willing to spend about $1,000 more than they need to get the same processing power that's available in a huge line of PCs. So today, in my opinion, because of the lack of foresight into who buys MacBook Pros, and maybe it's a small percentage of people that buy these high-end machines, but it must be enough people are willing to, well, let me say it, walk into their bullshit story about something being, this is a touch of genius. You know, it'd have been really cool if they'd have been a MacBook Pro and give us some extra ports, normal ports. Don't worry about it being so thin. Really, what is this thing we have right now about being thin? Thin just means it's going to break easier, right? You know, do we really need to go thinner? You know, if you go a little thicker, you can have a little bit longer battery life because you can put a thicker battery in it. You can have some additional ports in it. But it's all about this design stuff that they're thinking about. I think they've really lost touch, in my opinion, is that they're making this for, they've made the MacBook Pro, and they've the MacBook Air's gone for whatever reason. So what their target audience is not people that do movies. Aren't people that do creative stuff. It's just for people that hang out in Starbucks. And they got their MacBook Pro and they're hip, they're cool. And they're doing a little, web searching. They're on Facebook or whatever. Well, you can buy a $300 laptop if you want to surf Facebook. Their target audience is going to eat up anything Apple presents it to themselves. And we waited 4 years for this tiny incremental increase in a machine. And Tim Cook left by giving everybody a big thumbs up. Well, I say big thumbs down. You know, this move is going to get him the sales he needs for the hipster Mac users. But for the power users, we're left behind. So, but if you look at what Microsoft has announced and their Studio Surface, holy smokes, did you guys see this thing? Did you see what Microsoft did with this Surface? I'm not even like, you know, this whole Surface movement. I'm kind of, whatever, right? It's been coming a long time. Now, let me back up for a second. I told you it would have been cool with the MacBook Pro if they'd have made this touch bar as an accessory, made it so it was something that sit off the side. That would have been cool. Okay. But you look at what has happened with this new Microsoft Surface. Wow. Wow. So I'm going to say it. Microsoft right now is being more creative than Apple. And that, my friends, is a very sad state of affairs. You guys know I'm an equal opportunity basher here, right? Call a spade a spade. But the Pro in this specific Apple device isn't even accurate anymore. And Apple's completely forgot about the folks that need powerful machines. But if you go looking, like everyone's talking about, this new Surface, if you look at the demo video on this thing, it's a piece of beauty. A lay down flat. It's got a very, very cool manipulation tool. I mean, whoa. I mean, like, wow. So I guess we'll see. Now, if you do go ahead and don't follow my advice, you buy the new MacBook Pro, you are going to have a Thunderbolt 3 adapter guide, because you're going to spend $3,000. You spend $3,000 on a MacBook Pro, and then you're going to have to spend, if you want to get the insurance, that's going to be another $300, maybe $400. And then you're going to have to buy about $300 worth of adapters. So they've got the ability to connect USB-C, USB-A, micro USB, micro B, iPhone or iPad. They've got the ability to connect an adapter for Lightning earbuds, headphones. You're going to need a Thunderbolt 1 or Thunderbolt 2 device adapter. You're going to need a DisplayPort or an HDMI adapter. You're going to need a DVI adapter, maybe a VGA adapter, maybe even, oh, by the way, there is no Ethernet port on the new MacBook Pro. They want you to do everything on Wi-Fi. So you're dealing with big video files and you want to transfer those by Wi-Fi? Right. No, thank you. So you're going to need an Ethernet adapter. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have one of those Thunderbolt parts, which is really USB 3, plugged in for power. So that leaves you with three. So you're going to have a monitor or two. So that's going to leave you like one, maybe for an Ethernet. Oh, forget the external hard drive. You guys don't need that, right? You don't have any, if you get any FireWire devices, forget those. And that's what most people don't know, is that Thunderbolt 3 port is basically interchangeable with a USB-C device, or it's the same plug. But yes, they do have a good guide here. And let me bring this up for all of you that, are like the Mac fanatics and you're going to go out and buy these. So you're going to need a bag too, a separate bag to carry all these adapters with you. Okay. You know, I don't want to watch your ad, Computer World. Thank you very much. So let me go down here and just scroll down. There's the list of adapters you're going to need. All those run from $24.95 to $69.95. And you're just going to need a bunch of these little dongles, you know, different ways to hook up to the machine. And they've even got a guide on how to hook things up. Sometimes you're going to need two adapters. Sometimes you're going to need aftermarket stuff. You know, there's really a whole plethora of different types of connectors you're going to need. Yep, you want to hook up an Ethernet, you're going to need an adapter. Oh, an SD card. Forget about putting an SD card in the machine. You're going to need a special adapter for an SD card. Yes, there is a huge need for a dock. So now you're just going to need a dock. And those the OWC ones, I think those are $295. I did a review on one recently. It's about $300 as well. So $3,000 for the computer, $300 for the warranty, $300 for adapters, and $300 for the dock. So yeah, let's just roll it up to a cool $5,000. Are you excited now? Are you tired of me talking about this? What people need to do is you need to start talking about the things that piss you off about Apple and what they're doing with their product line. If you love and are devoted to the Mac Apple OS X line, and you're upset about these ongoing changes, the removable of the earbuds, dock in the iPhone, you need to start being public about this. You need to start screaming on Twitter. You need to start using social media effectively to let Apple know you're not happy. And if you really want to make a statement, don't go buy the new product. Actions speak louder than words. But Apple still leads in the tumbling market of tablets. Despite accounting for nearly a quarter of the market with the iPad, Apple saw a decline of more than 6% in tablet shipments during the third quarter, researchers from IDC said today. The tech giant shipped 9.3 million tablets compared to 9.9 million a year ago. Well, it's just very obvious. They last a long time. As long as you don't drop them, break them, there's really no need to upgrade for a while. About 43 million tablets shipped worldwide during the third quarter of 2016 compared to 50.5 million devices a year ago. Overall, tablet shipments are likely to fall by 9.6% this year. Man, I talked a long time about the Mac stuff. Oh, there are some new benchmarks out, and I'll have that up in the show notes. I'm not even going to talk about it, but the difference between a MacBook Pro 13-inch 2016 came in at 6970 benchmark. The MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina early 2015, listen to this, came in at 6983. So the performance of the 13-inch Retina is actually better than the MacBook Pro 13-inch late 2016. We'll see what happens when the new higher processors. This is the difference between i5 and i7. So we'll see where the benchmarks are when the other machines are released in a couple of weeks. But I did talk, want to share with you, of course, and if you haven't seen it, and those of you that are watching, I can bring this up for you. You can take a peek. This Microsoft Surface Studio is, okay, every one of these sites has little big pop-up ads now. This thing is beautiful. This is the kind of thing that you're like, wow, is that a Mac? No, that's a Windows machine. Really? Are you kidding me? Wow. So if you look at this thing, and oh, by the way, I've had touchscreen for a couple of years on the PCs that I've got. No touchscreen yet with the Mac. Why? Who knows? They're just insane. Absolutely insane that they have not went to a touchscreen. But anyway, please check out this Microsoft Surface Studio. And if you haven't seen it yet, you need to really look at it. Look at the demo videos for it. And I haven't looked at the pricing yet for it. Looking through this article but I think you'll be impressed in what they've come up with. All right, we're gonna switch topics here completely. If you're a woman, or if you are of color, and you're riding Uber or Lyft, apparently a nationwide study was done. Uber is quietly terrible for women and black people. They did a study involving nearly 1,500 rides across two cities, with work beginning in Seattle late last year. Undergrads from the University of Washington were given identical phones with the three ride-sharing apps preloaded. So what they found in Seattle experiment, trip requests from black riders took between 16% to 28% longer to be accepted by Uber X and Lyft, and breaking Uber X out showed a wait time of 29% to 35% longer than their white counterparts. Now check this out. For the ladies out there, you know how you go to a take your car to a dealership, need something worked on, and they'll come out and, you know, many of you have probably been subjected to the guy who says, well, you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And maybe you've signed off on it only to find out later from, you know, someone that's familiar with the way cars work and what stuff, and you find out that you've been taken to the cleaners. Well, this, when it makes just no sense at all, because when you have your app open, you can see how a driver is supposed to go their route, the suggested route, and it says that women are being driven around further. In other words, they're taking longer routes to bump the fare. So ladies, please, you get in an Uber car and the driver deviates from the route, you need to ask them specifically why, and keep track and see if you know, the estimated arrival time is different, longer in minutes. And if it is, you're paying more. So be aware that that's going on. So what it basically says is that women, there was an actual time. They call it the creep. Yeah, like creepy person factor. The result of the study showed that female riders are driven on routes that take approximately 5% longer, with anecdotal experiences backing it up and then some. According to the study, not only were women more prone to being overcharged by drivers starting the trip early or ending it after they'd already been dropped off, female riders reported instances of chatty drivers taking them on elongated routes. The routes were pre-planned not to exceed a mile or two to keep the study costs in check, which highlighted the extent drivers taking female passengers on longer rides than necessary. One participant observed the driver going through the same intersection three times during the trip, while another reported that she was taken on the freeway for a few exits, despite her drop-off point being just a mile away. There was a few bad characters out there, so pay attention and make sure when these knuckleheads do this, one star their asses and make sure that, you know, you write in the comments why. And this whole situation that they need about them not taking longer to pick up people of color is just a whole nother travesty. It just goes to prove that discrimination is alive and well in the world of ride hailing apps, just as it has been in taxi cabs for many, many years. Wow. This is damning. And again, it's a survey sampling 1,500 rides, but where there's smoke, there is definitely fire. All right, moving on to some space news. Virgin Galactic is set to begin Spaceship Two glide flights. So they're getting ready to do some flight tests. Again, of its second Spaceship Two, that's going to be happening tomorrow, Tuesday, for those of you that are listening to the show later than normal of the show. So that had been November 1 when they're going to do that. So we're excited to see the results. We'll talk about that on the next podcast. Also, in today's show, there are two incredible videos that you have to watch. The first one is a epic space station tour through fisheye lens. It's an amazing NASA video. So get your geek on, 18 minutes, It's absolutely awesome. So, and they have a calming soundtrack as a guide. So very, very cool. Shows you how big. And you can watch this under 4K if you want. All right. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. I'll talk about the other video in a minute. Also, there's been some NASA photos of a space station crew landing in, Kazakhstan. Zhikazhan, Kazakhstan. And some pretty cool videos. You know, basically shows them coming back in a Soyuz and everything that happens post-landing with the Russians. So I'll have that link up for you to check out. Also, Mars, the scientists at NASA and JPL are getting really excited because there's a new crater caused by a European lander. So they've got a nice crater to study. So they're talking about sending something back in 2021 to take a peek in this hole that the crater that was created by this lander on October 19th. You know, kind of a sad way to get science, but from the appearance of it, it hit at velocity. It hit the ground at more than 180 miles per hour, leaving a small crater about 8 feet in diameter, about 20 inches deep. So, you know, they talk about the moon now every 20 years or 2,000 years or something like that being resurfaced. So, but anyway, Mars got a nice big black spot too. All right, the second video that I want to turn you guys on to, and you guys are going to understand why this project cost $5 billion. Now, let me give you some rough comparisons here. In Hawaii, we're having a raised rail system that's going to be like 23 miles. It's taking them like 10 years to get it done. It's costing the taxpayers here unaffordable, like $8 to $9 billion. Okay, that gives you a perspective on, you know. And we're going through some of the most expensive real estate areas in the United States with this rail system, public domain, eminent domain, all these issues, rerouting sewers, power, going places where there was never planned to be a raised rail system. So the Apple's new campus, which is costing $5 billion, which no doubt will be able to be seen from space. There is a drone video that is going to blow your mind. And the first thing I said when I saw this video was like, man, what a lot of wasted space. And they've got this huge campus. And to be really kind of the size of it, I've got it up right now, and I just got the cover image for the video, and it looks like it's a mile across to get from one side to the other. They're gonna need like a train or something, because if you need to go from one side of the building to the other, you're gonna be like, boss, I'll be back in 2 hours. This thing is massive, and I'm not kidding you. Once you see this thing, you're going to like, once you understand the scope of this campus, it's going to blow your mind, and you're going to understand why it costs $5 billion. Actually, I think they got a pretty good deal on the cost of this campus. But it's amazing. It's really, it just shows you what is to come. So link is up, and I give kudos to the guy that did the drone video. He didn't get too low. He stayed pretty high, and maybe he's trying to, I'm sure he's probably, this is probably not a sanctioned, but this thing is like bigger than many magnitudes bigger than a stadium. Many magnitudes. And what have they got? One, two, three, four floors, plus underground storage for like 11,000 cars. I mean, just crazy, crazy stats. Again, like I said, they're going to need a train around this thing to transport people. So a link will be up in the show notes. You just got to watch this video and you'll be like, you send me your comments. Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear your thoughts on this Apple campus. It's incredible. It really, really is. Not to mention the support facilities, the R&D center. They're all huge buildings in their own right. So keep on buying those Mac Pros. Keep on buying the iPhones. Keep on buying the iPads. Because that's where your money for your overpriced gadget is going. That's why they have to charge $3,000 for a machine that probably costs $800 to make. All right, F-35, an amazing aircraft. Well, the F-35 is being sold by the United States, Lockheed Martin, to foreign governments. And the United Kingdom has bought some F-35s. But these foreign customers are very concerned that the United States is not getting the details of their pilots. Their pilots are wired into this thing pretty significantly. And of course, these are just, you know, big computers, lots of stuff going on inside the cockpit and electronics. So they've actually, Lockheed has had to set some guarantees in that their data that's being collected by the F-35 is not going to end up back in the U.S. government's hands. So, Netherlands, Australia, Israel, Canada, Norway, South Korea, Denmark, Italy, Japan, and Turkey are on the hook to buy some of these. And they're very serious that the mission data is not going to be backfed to government agencies. So lots of talk going on there for a very interesting, topic. You think about that. You'd have all these pilots and their performance, and they would, if they got this data back, they would know really the, how well trained and, maneuvers that they're performing, and very valuable data if any one of these countries ever become an adversary, which, is not likely. But crazier things have happened as we see what's going on in the world of politics today. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it just, I told you a few months ago that you needed to buy popcorn, because this thing was going to be a crazy ride all the way to the end. And holy smokes. Little H2O hit there, folks. All right. Hey, Black Friday. Yes, we're talking about shopping already. T-Mobile's Black Friday deal has been leaked. Basically, buy one, get one at half price. And on select models of phones. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Netflix has been talking about their how they measure success, and I think this is pretty cool. One of the things that I do with my company is how we measure success is ease of setup, having good user experience, allowing people to save time. That's some of our internal measurements. But Netflix CEO explains a conversion rate of U.S. dollars to joy. So he says that some of their stuff that they are producing costs as much as $100,000 an episode to create. If you think about that for a second, that's a lot of money for a single episode. How much did this show cost me to create? Well, I've got some production cost here. Me, my time, my equipment, depreciation, all that stuff. So, you factor that all in and what it takes to do this show. And, probably based upon what I've spent on this studio over the years and using the TriCaster, and I've got Audition running here and the Mac running over here watching the chat room and all that stuff, it's probably $200-$300 an episode, maybe more, if you look at the overall cost of doing the show. But they're talking about $100,000 to put on a single episode. But how they measure that is the joy factor in And it really boils back down to how many people watched, how many give a good rating, and how many people were going to tell about a specific series. They still have, you know, I guarantee you, right down in the to the nitty gritty, you know, how many, you know, if we're getting $8 billion a year in subscription fees from our customers, and it cost us, let's say, $1.3 million to produce a video series, then you divide that out by the number of people that viewed it, and you're going to find out what your cost is per, you know, per consumer. You know, that's where they're going to really delve into the details. But so they talk about the joy factor and how they figure that out. So an interesting way to look at it. But in the end, I guarantee you, they look at those metrics down to streaming hours and everything else. If in the UK today, NHS had some trouble. So their IT system was down because they had a virus that compromised their system on Sunday. So if you missed your appointment today in the UK, don't feel bad. It was a countrywide outage and not good. So virus ran rampant within their system. So they had to pull some very extraordinary measures to get things back online. So if you miss your appointment because of a hacker, I think we all should probably plan for more of that kind of stuff, the way the country's going at this point. Hey, Google is doling out $50 Play Store credits due to Pixel shipping delays. Google's new Pixel-branded smartphones are just flying off the shelf. They've proven to be a little bit too popular. So Google started it, basically, they haven't been able to keep up with the demand. So they're trying to make people a little bit happier by giving them some cash credit. So I think that was smart on Google's part. Angelo had gotten a Pixel. I got to play with it. And Angelo's main thing about the Pixel that he was astounded with, you know, and actually he was just a little bit underwhelmed by the user interface. But I said, Angelo, it's an Android. It's just like a, you know, like an iPhone. The UI, you're used to it. It's no different than the UI that you had on your old phone. Maybe a few different things. But he says, and his amazement was he could take the camera and he could go and take pictures as fast as he could push the button. He says, I couldn't do that with my phone. I have to click, wait, click, wait, click, wait. So I must admit the camera responsiveness on the Pixel was pretty fast. So if that's important to you, you definitely want to test one of these Pixels out. You want to go play with one. But I saw it, you know, rapid. And of course, you can set it to rapid where you just, it'll do like five at a time, or, you know, you hold the button down and you continue taking pictures until you let off. But he was most impressed with the camera, and the camera is nice on the Pixel. Netflix is doing something interesting. If you're running a blocker, they are putting an ad on the blocking notice. Now, think about that for a second. You know, all of us that are running an ad blocker, we're coming to sites now where they're maybe putting a pop-up in front of them saying, hey, we'd appreciate it if you didn't run a blocker on the website. Well, they've gotten smart. They're putting an ad on that blocker. So they're still saying, hey, by the way, we appreciate you wouldn't block us. And down in the corner here, they've got the ability to put in an ad, somehow circumventing the ad prevention software. So the, it's, you're getting an ad one way or the other. So I have to say, pretty smart on their part. That's good. And they're not disclosing how they're doing it. So I'm sure the ad blocking people will be looking at it, but time will tell. All right, so let's, you know, we're getting into the point where we're about ready to have a big vote here in the United States. And the insanity will be dimmed down a little bit. But based on everything that's going on, no matter who wins, the insanity will continue the day afterwards. But what will happen with the transition of power for whoever wins is that there will be a digital transition of the social media accounts. So the POTUS account on Twitter, they will keep all their followers, but the tweets will be offloaded to a digital archive controlled by, I think, whoever does that in the government. But all the accounts Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Vimeo, iTunes, MySpace, all those accounts, including whitehouse.gov, all that stuff gets turned over to the new administration. So what I will find to be curious, and this is what we should all watch for, to tell you, you know, how the country's feeling, is no matter who wins, after the inauguration, we should all watch and look at the total number of followers on Twitter, whether it goes up or whether it goes down. If people walk away from whoever is elected president, walk away from those social media accounts. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. And again, they kind of like they wipe the slate clean and it's turned over to the new administration. Hopefully they just take the stuff offline and don't destroy the site. All right, Justin Kahn, you guys know who him? He's a very familiar name. He's and he was at one time one of the internet's most loved reality stars. He started another venture in the form of something called The Whale. It's a video Q&A app, and I think this is pretty smart. So someone asks via text a question, and then you can reply via video. And this is a brand new app that will be, I guess it's available already. And this was launched via a Y Combinator. But, you know, Kahn started out with a video platform called Justin.tv, which turned into Twitch, I think. I think that was transformed into that. But anyway, he had a couple successful, he's definitely loaded so he can afford to do this kind of stuff. So very, very cool stuff. All right, just talk about Chrome a little bit. Chrome has done a boost in its code. Basically, the boost being they've optimized page load speeds. And so now those of you using the latest update of Chrome will see about a 15% page load increase. And if you're even launching the app from scratch, about a 6% faster load time. So they've done some cool stuff with the code to be able to basically make things run faster. I talked a little bit about my Windows update. So I flew into Honolulu Saturday evening, got in about 7. Basically by 9:30, I was, already on my first 30 minutes of sleep. I didn't last long once I got to the house. So I got up Sunday morning. We were going to do the new media show. I started alarm at 5 a.m., or actually 4:45. I got in the studio, and there was a Windows update ready. So, well, actually not a Windows update. What I was going to do is the machine had run the entire time I was gone. You guys know on the last show I had some problems with the screen blacking out. So I did the night before I'd done a driver update for my GTX 1080 video card. And then, so I get ready to restart the computer and the machine says, do you want to do an update? I thought, these updates usually take like 5 minutes. I said, sure, go ahead and do an update and restart. That was like 4:50. So I'm getting the studio all set up. Everything's around, ready to go. And I'm like, 5:50, this stupid thing's not done. It's like at 19%. It's an hour later. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on? Why is this update taking so long? Well, I had the Mac running, the Mac Pro, and it runs basically, I just have to change screen inputs here on the monitor in front of me. And I switched it over and I got everything ready, the YouTube stream, all that stuff ready on that machine. And still, the Windows machine is still updating. So Rob and our guest came on, Chris from PodFest Orlando, and we're ready to go. And it's 10 minutes after 6. I'm like, well, the Windows machine is not ready. We'll just go without it. And we did. So about 6:30, so we're an hour 40 minutes. Now, this machine, this Windows machine I have down here, is like a superstar Dell, not inexpensive desktop. I mean, it rocks. It's a great computer. And it took it an hour and 40 minutes to do the Windows update. It doesn't take an hour and 40 minutes to install the operating system. So I'm just like, what is going on? And it appears that this major Windows update, people are either bricking machines, they get three quarters of the way through the update and undoes the update, or it updates and the machine doesn't work. So, you know, we say what we all can about Apple, but man, oh man, this Windows update, they completely blew it. Let me upgrade in sections, or roll stuff out sooner, or tell me how long this is going to take. It took forever. And when it finally came up, it installed this trust system that I already have malware and an antivirus on this machine. I didn't need the Microsoft software. Of course, Rob's telling me, hey, why don't you go ahead and use that? That's you'll never get a virus. And okay, I'm going to trust Microsoft to antivirus. No, I'm not. I'm going to trust a company that does it for a living. So, you know, Microsoft can't even keep zero-day updates in their system. It's been, you know, there's a zero-day vulnerability out there right now. So, I just wanted to share with you that both companies have some rooms to grow. But if we look at what's going on in the internet today, there's not a single one of us that haven't had a credit card hacked. There's not a single one of us that haven't been affected by a site break-in, possible credentials lost. The internet right now is worse than I've seen it in a long, long time. You've got foreign state actors. You've got all kinds of government agencies. They're doing crazy things out there. So we have to start really paying attention, all of us do, to everything that we have in our internet supply chain. If you have a router that hasn't had a firmware upgrade in a long time, you need to look at that. If you've got a router that's set there for 4 or 5 years, maybe it's time to do some research on that router and make sure that that router is still secure. You need to look at really your whole ecosystem that you're working under. Make sure your passwords, your Wi-Fi is all secure, that you're not, making it easy for cyber criminals, passwords on websites, you know, making sure you don't use the same password or the same scheme in creating your passwords. I know some of you do that. So we just have to be careful out there because I'm sure that if Hillary Clinton is elected to the White House, they're not going to be using email. They're going to be using a tin cup and a string or pieces of paper with a shredder in, you know, every doorway. It's crazy what's going on out there. And this could happen to any one of us. Anyone, any company, any computer, you know, just imagine. Just imagine your business or private email being made available for the world to see. Is there stuff in there that you'd be like, uh-oh, that you wouldn't want another family member to see or a business partner to see? You know, I am sure there are commentary that's maybe a little bit, excitable. Or maybe you're cussing somebody out or something to that effect. So, just be careful out there, okay? Because you don't want WikiLeaks getting your email and putting it up when you're running for office. It's just insane. It really, really is. But anyway, I'll have a little bit of a link here talking about, you know, how we could lose the internet and what's at stake at this point with all the insanity that's going around. Now, not only that, there's a new leak may show that if your company or country or your embassy or your government was hacked, these folks that are got all that code, apparently from this dude that is now under arrest for basically taking terabytes and terabytes and terabytes of classified material home. This guy is going to be in a dark black hole for many, many years. This NSA contractor, Harold Thomas Martin III, who this guy, you know, you thought Snowden was bad. Everything that's being talked about now, it's, you know, his stuff is worse. But the shadow brokers are publishing a list of known sites that basically were hacked. And this is over on Ars Technica, and the damage. You know, we look at this and we shake our heads. But let's be very frank. And, you know, we laugh a little bit about it on this show. But remember, this is, and for those of you that live here in the United States, this is what one of our government agencies has potentially done to help protect us. And these compromises, these security compromises, where material and stuff is being posted, and we've talked about this before, you know, Snowden is considered to be a hero around the world, but you guys know my opinion on him. Anyway, now we got this next guy that thought he was bigger than life, and he was a big cyber guy, and he took all this data home, and yep, he was, you know, maybe a little bit too big for his britches, and the next thing you know, his data that he apparently had on his hard drive has been hacked. And he didn't follow security rules. And this guy is going to go down and he's going to go to jail. But the damage, 50 terabytes of data, the damage that is being done. I can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine. And the Chinese or the Russians, whoever's getting this data, they must think we're a bunch of suckers. It is very sad. And it's just amazing to me. It really, really is. So it was this guy a traitor? No, maybe he didn't plan on his data, but he definitely is absolute freaking idiot and is going to go to jail because, you know, he did stuff he was absolutely not allowed to do. It's just astounding to me. It's astounding to me that he would do this. You know, in this note on Ars Technica, it says, much of the data included highly classified information such as names of U.S. intelligence officers, highly sensitive methods. Martin came to the attention of investigators looking into the shadow brokers, August leak, anonymous people with knowledge of the investigation say they don't know what concern, if any, Martin has to the groups or the leaks. But this stuff is, they'll apparently come from him. And just devastating damage. I can only think that it would be really, really bad. There's been a lot said about it. But, you know, they announced this list of domains that and IP addresses that apparently were compromised. It's wow. Wow, 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 wow. All right, AT&T, and, you know, I'm long. I'm already long. I've got about 5 more things here tonight. AT&T has been smacked by the FCC for falsely claiming Google Fiber was basically trying to get on some poles, telephone poles, and there's a big fight going on in Kentucky over this, so I'll have that link up in the show notes. We got a head-to-head Apple MacBook Pro versus Microsoft Surface, talking about the two different machines and what they're available. That's available from CM.com. Talk about this zero-day bug with Google just discovering a major Windows bug, and basically it's out in the wild. It's a bad one. And make sure you're updating Flash. If that's available as an update on your machine, make sure you get that update. That helps mitigate a little bit. But hopefully Microsoft will have a patch out here soon. Also, we talk about this American Airlines flight that had the fire. If you're on an airplane and there's trouble, and the emergency doors are popped. Leave your luggage on the plane. And be calm. You've got some time to get out. But people lost their minds on this. And there's a video to show what goes on inside an airplane when stuff's going on. And also, if the tube, that's in other words, if the body of the aircraft starts filling with smoke, remember, smoke will rise. The clean air will be down lower, so you can always duck down and get air. So get your head out of the smoke as you're trying to escape. Also, the company that's behind Giphy, G-I-P-H-Y, they got a $72 million in funding. This is amazing. For a site that creates GIFs, $72 million in funding, raising their value now to around $600 million. Simply incredible. Absolutely incredible. Rumors that the iPhone 8, yes, we're already talking about the iPhone 8, will have wireless charging. And I've got a list of all the new movies coming out on Netflix for November, so that'll be up in the show notes for tonight. Also, there's a great article from the Miami Herald talking about how there's a solar amendment that's in works. For those of you that are voting in Florida, you need to pay attention to this specific amendment. It is, I think it's Amendment 1. But, you know, if you are in Florida, you need to read this article that I'm going to have up from the Miami Herald. And if you want me to tell you how to vote on this one, no. Vote no, okay? That's all you need to know if you don't want to read about it. And if you're not familiar, vote no. Also, this is true story. During surgery in Tokyo, the patient farted and caused a fire. The surgeon was using a laser at the time that the patient farted. And this young lady received some serious burns from her fart. I kid you not. There's an article about it. Link will be up in the show notes on it. And finally today, there's a mysterious thing that was saw swimming in an Alaska river. And it does look a little bit weird. So the Chena River Ice Monster, there's a story out about that. All right, we've covered a lot of territory today. And obviously long on the show, I've laid some stuff down on you tonight for opinion-wise. And I really want to hear your feedback. I mean, I've dumped a lot of stuff on you. Mac users, don't be mad. Don't be hating on me. It's the truth. You know it. Are you buying the new MacBook Pro? Tell me why you are. If it's because you've got a machine that's died, that's one thing. Or you just got to upgrade. Do you feel the need to make the jump? And just all the other stuff we've talked about tonight. Be safe out there. We'll be back with you on Thursday. I'm glad to be back with you here doing the show. Do have travel for Denver next week, but we'll talk about that on Thursday. So shouldn't be as crazy of a week as I had last week, but everyone take care. Geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget to support our sponsor. It's really important. Need to help with those of you that are supporting the show, linking to that GoDaddy page. Help me out, okay? And we'll talk to you soon, everyone. Take care. Keep everyone. Take care. Aloha. Bye-bye.